I'll be speaking as an agronomist. I'm not a spatial information specialist or a modeler, but and I'm talking about aspirations, things we're planning to do or early stages of implementing, but we haven't made a lot of progress yet. There's a project called Optimization of Fertilizer Use in Africa, or OFRA, and or it's actually called Optimization of Fertilizer Recommendations in Africa. It'd probably be better called Optimization of Fertilizer Use in Africa is what I should have said. But OFRA sounds better than OFUA, so we call it OFRA. OFRA is being implemented to try to improve the profitability of fertilizer use by farmers in Africa, especially smallholder, finance-constrained farmers. It's being implemented in the 10 countries that Levin spoke of, as well as three others, that is in Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Ghana, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Malawi, Zambia, and Mozambique. And the idea is to develop robust nutrient response functions for important annual food crops that represent the agroecological zones of importance. In total, there are 14 crops that are being addressed, mostly in sole crop, but some in, with intercrop, as we see in this picture with pigeon pea maize intercropping. It's being funded by the Alliance of a Green Revolution in Africa, or AGRA, with financial support behind that from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The project is being managed by CABI through their Nairobi office with scientific support from the University of Nebraska. It started in July of 2013, and it's a three-year project. This figure sort of demonstrates some of the basic principles, economic principles behind this, in that some nutrients applied to some crops offer much more profit potential than other nutrients applied to the same crops or other crops. And what we have on the x-axis here is the dollars per hectare invested in a particular nutrient applied to a particular crop, such as nitrogen applied to maize. And on the y-axis, we have the net returns to fertilizer use in dollars per hectare. You see it goes from zero up to 900. And when the slope of the curve is steep, that's when we're getting a lot of return on our investment. So you see the response curve for rice, nitrogen applied to rice, and as well as nitrogen applied to bean, it's got that steep slope initially with the lower rates. Say, okay, bean is a legume, it should be fixing its own nitrogen, but we know it can benefit from a starter dose of nitrogen, and you have a more vigorous, healthy crop that can then later fix nitrogen. As you increase the rates, then the slope changes, of course, and it becomes more comparable with some of the slopes below, such as for nitrogen applied to maize or phosphorus applied to soybean or groundnuts or peanuts. And so if the farmer has an interest in upland rice or bean in their cropping system or both, the priority should be to use available money to buy some nitrogen for those crops. And then they start looking at other options. Now, there are a lot of response functions that are not shown here. I'll just show this one for brevity. The thing is, for things like phosphorus applied to maize and rice, et cetera, it's less profitable than these options. This information is, by the way, based on work in Uganda. And so the work in Uganda is sort of providing a prototype for what we're doing in 12 other countries. So we have 15 in Uganda that came up with, did about, let's say, about 170 site season crop trials, or variety trials, I should say, across six crops. The total number of trials is like 170. Six crops were involved. They estimated 15 crop nutrient response functions. And so how do we work with these response functions to help farmers make a decision on how to get the most profit from their fertilizer use? We developed this tool in Excel with the add-on solver to optimize across these functions. It's fully based on field research. Again, it considers 15 functions. In a way, it works on a whole farm basis because it considers up to six different crops at this time, whereas a lot of other decision tools only consider one crop or one field. And the information input needs are low. That is, all the farmers need to provide is how much land area they want to plant to each crop, what the expected value of that grain is going to be at harvest time, whether it's for home consumption or for market, what the cost of the fertilizer is, and then what their budget constraint is. Moving on to the spatial information part of this, how we're planning to take advantage of spatial information to improve the efficiency of implementation. The first is help us to do a better job of selecting our sites for research or trials, to be able to get more output or more bang per trial, let's say. And so we want sites that represent a lot of production, whether it's for local interest within country, but also across Africa. And we need to consider how much information is available from past research. Another application is the extrapolation of response function information across Africa. Can we take information from Niger, for instance, for pearl millet and apply it in southwest Zambia, where pearl millet is an important country, or important crop? And the third, which is a more straightforward task, I think, is target, once we have response functions for an agroecological zone in a country that we think are robust and representative, can we do more efficiently, extend those or extrapolate those, you know, around the country? Information needed, and Levin has spoke about some of this, but we need crop distribution layers. We need our database of our nutrient response functions. And I should say from past research, we now have about 2,500 nutrient response functions estimated from research done in Africa that are geo-referenced and available to work with. We're using the GIGA variables that Levin spoke of, growing degree days, aridity index, seasonality, latitude, or at least the absolute value of latitude, elevation, and three of the AFSIS soil properties, soil pH, sand, organic matter, to a 30-centimeter depth. Levin showed a map similar to this, but this is the map of the extrapolation zones that the GIGA project developed. And again, something similar to what Levin showed is one of the maps from the AFSIS with the soil properties on a 1 kilometer square basis. So the site evaluation and selection tool. We haven't fully decided which way to go on this. We see two alternatives. One is where the user would put in their coordinates for the intended site or the site of interest. The tool would then identify the characteristics of the site and give an evaluation for all of the OFER crops as to how much production area that point is likely to reasonably represent and how much response function information is already there. And the local researchers then in these countries would use this information to complement their local knowledge of the site and production to see if it's a good site for the crops of interest. The other alternative is where we're more proactive, we identify the production areas needing more information on a crop and then suggest to researchers where to look for good sites to get the sites that are going to be most useful for achieving our objectives. On the extrapolation of response function coefficients, and I should say the response functions that we're determining are of an asymptotic function. It gives us three coefficients, easy to work with. But the idea there that we, as we see it, is to input the coordinates for that represent agroecological zone of interest, and then the tool would do a search and find crop nutrient response functions and their coefficients that that represent the growing conditions of interest. And again, the researchers then would use this to complement the results from their trials done more locally. Just an example of what the potential value of doing this is, again, we did a lot of literature review. We have this database of about 2,500 nutrient response functions. In this example, we're looking at nitrogen applied to maize without any other nutrient applied, and there are 223 sets of coefficients for that. And we did our predictive equations using the absolute value of latitude, elevation, and the giga and abscis variables. When we compare in the left-hand diagram the actual to the predicted, it accounts for 33% of the variation if we use a curvilinear response. If we go with linear, it drops to an R-square of 0.32. The figure on the right gives further validation to it, where we randomly selected points across sub-Saharan Africa where we knew, you know, maize was important, or at least grown, maybe not important. And we see we get quite a wide range of response curves for these different situations. The bottom two are from Mali and central Tanzania, the dome area of Tanzania. Low yields, likely constrained by water, not much response. The upper one is a high potential area of Ethiopia. The magnitude of the response varies quite a lot, and the shape of the response curve varies. If we look at the top two curves, the reddish one is from Zambia, and very nearly linear. It means they're not getting good recovery of the nitrogen, and it's understandable because of the heavy rains during the season in that part of Zambia, but also somewhat sandy soil. So they're probably losing a lot of nitrogen to leaching. So I can't give you any conclusions. It's too early for this, but I think there is good evidence of the feasibility of using AFSIS and GIGA information, as well as some other variables in the development of these tools for, again, for guiding our research site selection and for extrapolation of research results. Thank you.